Hello, and what is up, everybody? It's me, Marty the Meat Man here, your host of Cross Court Coverage, your All-NBA Celtics-focused podcast, proudly brought to you by Primetime Productions at Primetime Prods on Twitter, on X, primetimeproductions.net. It's the hot spot for anything, well, any sport just about now. We got MMA coverage now. Shout out Starched MMA, new podcast that just dropped on the network. Baseball is finally getting covered. Hearing whispers of a Red Sox, you know, podcast. I'm hearing whispers of a Yankees podcast, but for real, there is the Red Bird Report, which is a Cardinals podcast. So if you like the St. Louis Cardinals, Ian Kennedy and Poolside Pat got you covered. As always, a lot of puck, Bruins, NHL coverage out the wazoo here at Primetime. I got you for hoop. Football breaking the plane. Drop back. We're covering all our bases. We're figuring it out. We're getting coverage in every league. Also, there is a 7-day a week. That is every single day for those of you who can't count. Live betting show that will drop, I believe, well, it depends on the time, but every day, Poolside Pat, Howie the Hitman on the ones and twos, at PTP Bets, Primetime Parlay, been a lot of fun hopping on there with them. I have a regular Thursday spot. I'm going to stay on Thursdays because I decided to show up on a Friday show, and we went over. It was the worst showing I've had on the show. And hand up, my bad. I did decide to go with the Pistons to cover, which was 8.5. I thought they could, you know, keep it within 9. And then I think they lost by almost 20. So, no, they lost by, like, I want to say 12 or some shit like that. Either way, it was the first time I really sat down and watched the Pistons besides when they played the Celtics. And when they played the Celtics, they brought their A game. Then I got to see what everyone else has seen as a Pistons fan for the whole season, where they just literally don't know how to play basketball. They look like a rec league CYO team. AAU could dunk on them. But I digress. Primetime Productions at Primetime Prods on Twitter, on X, primetimeproductions.net. Check it out. If you're not in the podcast mood, if you're not, you know, a podcast listener, I don't know how you're getting this message because you're literally listening to a podcast. But there are also a slew of articles pumped out by all our writers. Shout out Kellen. Shout out Tommy. Shout out Sully. Shout out. I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head, and I apologize if I forgot you. But articles almost every day. Almost multiple a day being pumped out, covering all sports. Really, just the ball is rolling. You want to get on this train before it leaves the station. And we're about 3/4 of the way already pulled out. With that being said, promo's done. I don't get paid for that. I just love this goddamn company. I love this network. I love the people that I am teamed up with and work with. And family is a big thing that we've been throwing around. It feels like that for sure. You know, you never want work to feel like work. You want it to feel like fun. And that's what this whole experience has been so far. So shout out everybody at PTP. And again, I won't be coming on any other betting show or any other betting day on Primetime Parlay besides Thursdays, because that's my sweet spot. Really hurt the record here. Trying to show out, show off with some fucking believing in the Pistons bullshit. Sorry. I got a little cheeky. Pistons suck. Anyway, that's the intro. That's what we're doing. Just a little bit of a programming update. I and Larry, we're gonna give Larry a vacation too. I'm Marty the Meat Man, will be on vacation for the upcoming week. I'm going on a boat. I'm hoping not to end up like the Titanic, but we shall see. With that being said, this will be your episode dropping on March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day to all tuning in on Sunday drop day. If you listen to it afterward, then happy belated St. Patrick's Day. I don't really, you know, I don't account for the non-Sunday listeners. I'm just kidding. I love all you the same. but with all that being said, we will not be dropping an episode on the 21st. We are taking a full week off. So I will cover the games for the Celtics for the next 2 weeks. And then we will be back in full force, whatever the date. I don't have my calendar up. Let's see. We will miss the, that's not how days work. We'll miss the 24th. And then we'll have an Easter drop for you. We will be dropping the next episode on the 31st of March. Not an April Fool's joke, promise. So yeah. Tune in this week. You get a week off. So if you're sick of hearing my voice, again, don't know why you listen, don't know why you follow, don't know why you subscribe, but appreciate you. But you'll get a week off, and then we'll be back in full force right before the playoffs get to rolling. That's the programming update. That's the intro. That's the primetime plug. Let's kick it into high gear. This week, excuse me, three injuries of note, and one is just our favorite repeat customer, Benjamin Simmons. Ben Simmons of the Nets. I don't even know why we put Nets next to him. He should have no team denotion. Don't know the word. Designation. That's the word. He doesn't play. He doesn't play for anyone. He lives in his own little Ben Simmons world, but whatever. Ben Simmons update. He had a back procedure. This is his second back surgery / procedure since November of 2022. He's out for the remainder of the season. We already covered that last week, but what the hell is going on? Either he has an awful back doctor / surgeon, or something shook loose in the head, because it's been way too long. I saw someone post a graphic the other day of all the games that Ben Simmons has missed in the last 3-4 years. And a caption underneath it was like, if the McDonald's ice cream machine was an NBA player. And that is facts. That shit's broke. It don't work. It never works. You ask for it to show up, and it's just not there. It's time for him to hang up these goddamn shoes. Like, you had the most Icarus style of being in the NBA I've ever seen. Shows up on the stage, bright lights, big city. Ben Simmons was good. That's the crazy part, is that, like, he's a meme now, but, like, a lot of people don't remember that Ben Simmons, besides not being able to shoot a three, besides not hitting, like, you know, J's, but everything else, defense, dunks, his game was solid. Then all this shit happened, and he's never been the same since. And, like, a lot of people think it was Philly that psyched him out. A lot of people think that this back injury is a lot more serious than anyone's ever made it out to be. We don't know. He likes to pretend that everything's fine, everything's going to be okay, and clearly it's not. So Icarus of the NBA, for real, for real. The next injury, Sadiq Bey of the Atlanta Hawks has a torn left ACL injury. Obviously, an ACL injury is serious. That is season-ending for a play-in team. That is a big loss. Sadiq Bey is a key rotational piece, key, you know, swing wingman / big man, kind of a little bit of a hybrid player there. I don't know. I don't know what this really spells out for the Hawks. They are battling to keep it in, I believe, 10th place. Yeah, they're in 10th right now. The Nets are knocking on the door for that play-in position, and I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the Hawks either decide to manage this or fold at the end of the season. You know, I wish for a speedy recovery for Sadiq Bey and hope that he's healthy, you know, come next season. He's a solid player. He's been linked to the Celtics nearly every trade deadline and every offseason. I like his game. I think he's got, you know, a lot of talent and brings some versatility to his position. So definitely a detriment to the Hawks to lose him so close to the end of the season. We are literally 4 weeks, 5 weeks away. I said it last week. I said the same shit, but we are 4 weeks, 5 weeks away from the regular season ending. The last day is April 14th. So literally recording today on the 16th of March, we're a month away. The final injury, Alpen Sengun, however you pronounce it, Rockets. We have a little bit of a sigh of relief. We're gonna, you know, keep our fingers crossed for this guy. The injury that got him carted off of the court turns out to be a severely, now I'm not just going to say sprained ankle, because it was a severely sprained ankle, I believe grade 3, and a bone bruise on his knee, all the left leg. Possible return for the end of the season. Now, what do you do with that? Sengun's a beast. He was literally like freaking out in the like 2 games prior to himself getting hurt. He's a rebound machine. He's like an up and coming like Joker style player. And I've been on his radar. I've been watching that radar for 2-3 years now. And it sucks to see him go down at the end of the season, especially with the Rockets trying to be a playing team. They're sitting at 11 in the West, and they're like three plus games behind Golden State for that 10 spot. It's going to be a hard push without Sengun. I'm just going to be straight up. You know, if they want to make the playoffs, they got to really push. I don't think that you rush Sengun back from this injury. I think you give him all the time that he needs, because he is going to be a franchise player for you going forward. I don't think that you want to rush one playoff run as a play-in team versus the overall longevity and health of you, one of your feature players. So I think they should sideline him for the rest of the season. I don't think the play-in is worth it for the Rockets. I understand Ime is trying to prove that like he's still relevant as a coach, and you know, Joe Mazzulla wasn't the right pick, but clearly Joe Mazzulla was the right pick over Ime. So thanks for sticking your dick where it didn't belong, dumbass. Yeah, no, I mean, like, if you're the Rockets, you need to look at this situation and you need to be like, can we get there without Alpen? Can we get there without Sengun? If we can make the play-in without him, then awesome. Let's bench him for the rest of the season and ride this wave and then bring him back in the playoffs. That's the smart move. If they force him back or they rush him back or he, you know, I believe this guy's a competitor. I don't think that he's going to want to sit out. I know that if he feels good, he's going to try and play, but we need to listen to the doctors and really assess. Like, that injury was bad. He got carted off. I know it's just a sprain, but it's a high grade sprain, and a bone bruise, which is never fun. Don't rush this. You are a big man in the NBA. Leg injuries are serious and they will affect your trajectory and your longevity. Take it easy. Rest as long as you need until you feel 100%. Don't come back at 90. Don't come back at 80. Don't come back at 75. 100%. And Ime and the coaching staff and the trainers and the doctors all need to know this. And if we see Alpen come back out in the regular season, he best be at 100%, because I just don't want to see them really throw away something like his talent or anything like that by rushing him back. But, you know, Ime doesn't exactly do everything by the book or by the rules or with the best interest of everyone else in mind. So maybe they'll just fuck the guy over, and, you know, that's pretty on par for Ime Udoka. But can you tell that I'm a little salty about this Ime Udoka, this character? Like, what? No, for real. As a Sengun fan, as a, you know, someone who's been hoping for his rise to big man status and like feature big man status, wish him a speedy recovery. I wish him as long as he needs to recover to be on the sideline. I hope him and the coaching staff really, really assess this injury and give it the time that it needs to heal. But those are the injuries of the week. Moving forward to the news of the week. Let's see. Kenneth Lofton. We've been talking about Kenny Lofton 2 years now, where he's just been picked up, signed, dropped, picked up, signed, dropped, picked up, signed, dropped, brought to an NBA roster, dropped, cut. You know, it's been a lot of up, down, all around for Kenny Lofton. He is currently signed with the Utah Jazz. This doesn't move the needle for me. This doesn't, like, spark the radar. I like Kenny Lofton's game, but he's one of those guys who's kind of proven that he's kind of stuck in the G League with, like, very few and far between appearances. G League hero, that's fine. You're getting paid to play in the NBA in some facet, some shape, some form. So hats off to you. But news, quote unquote, yes. It's exciting, no. I expect that, you know, a week or two from now, we will be talking about Kenny Lofton being cut and then signing with another team or some shit like that. Next bullet, next piece of information of note. Coach Jermaine Mosley of the Orlando Magic has signed a 4-year extension, which will make him the coach of the Orlando Magic between until the years 27-28, the 27-28 season. Shout out Magic. You know, for so long, they've been the laughingstock of the East. They've been the shit can team, the pick on them, the somehow Celtics kryptonite, but, you know, everyone else just beating the piss out of Orlando. They're in a playoff spot, guys. Like, I know we talked about it at the beginning of the season when they were like the fucking 2 seed, that they would come back down to earth. But now that we're moving towards the end of March, middle of March, April, they're back. And if you're in a playoff spot / the playoff race at this point, you're for real. So Stuffs, Orlando, Mr. Mosley, I apologize. I was not familiar with your game. You guys have proven that you deserve this and that you are on the up and up, and you're finally beating the allegations of being booty butt cheeks. So congratulations. I don't want you in a playoff series because for some reason that's just going to end up fucking tragically for the Celtics. But yeah, no, I mean, surprised. Baffled, surprised. I don't think that I had Orlando anywhere near sniffing the playoffs at the beginning of the season. Good for them. And good for them for locking down the guy who's kind of gotten them there. This coach has taken this roster and really made it work. And it's paying dividends. So sign him, keep him for a long time, keep it rolling. Speaking of the Jazz again, they signed Kenny Lofton. They cut Otto Porter Jr., which a lot of people on Twitter were giving the Jazz a lot of shit because they cut Otto after the March 1 or whatever it was deadline for him to possibly sign with a contender. Whatever. This is business. This is basketball. I'm not just going to cut some player so that he can go sign on a team and then go get a ring. I kind of understand Danny Ainge there. You need to be a little bit cutthroat. You need to make sure that you're not just giving someone an advantage. Also, I'm pretty sure Otto Porter retired after being cut. So I don't know how that conversation went down between him and Danny. I don't know how that conversation went down on his own end. Maybe he was like, hey, I'm out. I'm done. I don't want to be in the NBA anymore, or it's over, or whatever it is. But like, leave fucking Danny Ainge alone. We ain't talking shit about Danny Ainge. We ain't doing that. Like, he, though he's not the Celtics GM anymore, he was the guy who paved the way. He gave us Jason Tatum. He gave us Jaylen Brown. He gave us Marcus Smart. So, like, we're not talking shit on Danny Ainge. All right, NBA Twitter. Let's pull back a little bit. I just want to double check on Otto Porter Jr. Retired? Yes? No? Yeah, he retired after 11 NBA seasons. He's got a ring. Good for him. Yeah, leave Danny alone. I totally understand waiting past the deadline and cutting him afterward. Everyone's like, oh, well, you didn't give him a chance to play for another team. No shit. I don't want another team being better. That's my job as GM. Like, that's okay. This isn't, you're not supposed to be nice. This is a competition. Everyone's fighting. Everyone's trying to get good, get better. And you're not trying to be the Bucks in this situation and, you know, give up a piece so that your rival can go and get them. Thanks for Drew. Milwaukee. Really love him. You dumb shits. Danny Ainge probably saw that whole Drew Holiday scenario and was like, we're not doing this with Otto Porter. Would that have really happened like that? Would Otto Porter signing with a contender really change the whole trajectory of the playoffs? Fuck no. But, you know, I get where he came from. So lay off Danny Ainge. He is gold status. Well, yeah, we'll put him gold status because then I'll put Brad Stevens at platinum status. Back the fuck off, Danny Ainge. I hate fucking, you know, like participation, this nice, this everybody's friends with everybody shit. That's not how leagues roll. If y'all forget, I understand that, like, we're trying to, like, whatever the sport. It's a game. It's a competition. Someone wins the championship at the end of the year. It's cutthroat. It's supposed to be cutthroat. So shout out to Danny Ainge for keeping it that way. Shout out to Danny Ainge understanding, not just handing over assets to someone for free, because the trade deadline's over. You can't trade Otto Porter. And you see the deadline for playoff teams signing free agents has passed. Okay, you can cut him now. Makes sense. Makes sense. It's a business decision. Hate him for it, but you're wrong. Yes. Two other big old things a note. Victor Wembanyama. All right, so rewind to August, September, even October. I did not believe the hype. I did not buy into the alien. I did not believe ET was going to phone home. I didn't think Wemby was going to be who he is and who he's shown himself to be all season. He did fuck up my picks, you know, betting wise yesterday, because the lights were too bright. I said he shows off in the bright lights, and then the lights were too bright yesterday, but whatever. He did, though. Victor Wembanyama joins Tim Duncan as the only rookie to record 200-plus blocks. That's insane. That's elite company. Possibly the best power forward ever. And you are the only two people as rookies to record 200-plus blocks. Both Spurs players, both coached up by Popovich. It's just poetically beautiful. Flowers for Wembanyama. I'm sorry for ever doubting you. I'm sorry that I wasn't a believer, but you've made a believer out of me. And that's, I mean, this is like, I know we haven't covered Wemby all too much, but this is not his first record or first stat like that of this season either. He has been game changing. He has been setting either Spurs or NBA records or breaking the mold. Wemby's something to watch. Even though the Spurs are ass, even though they don't win many games, Wemby is something to watch. He is a phenom, an alien, a xenomorph. Can't think of any other aliens. A little green man. Well, no, he's not little. He's fucking 7'4", dude. Yeah, flowers for Wemby. Shout out, Wemby. I'm sorry for doubting you. You have made this man eat crow, and I'll own that. I will own that. The last bit of news is the opposite of me eating crow. I have said forever. I have said for so long that Grant Williams is a pest. And I don't mean that in the defensive, in-your-face, bother-people way. I mean in the locker room, quote unquote, cancer, the locker room disruptor, the annoying guy. Mike Gorman, shout out Mike Gorman, announcer for the Celtics, color commentary, was on Felger and Maz or 98.5 or some, excuse me, had to burp, some local Boston radio or podcast or something. And he went out and just basically said that everybody in the Celtics locker room thought that he was Grant Williams was annoying. There was a story that came out either this week or last week that Grant was chirping Luka out of practice and chirping 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 and wouldn't shut the fuck up until Luka went 26-6 on him and just dunked all over his ass, cooking him in a one-on-one drill because he was like, you want to keep talking? Let me shut you up. Grant is the perfect, he's the epitome, the epitome of all talk, no game. The ego and the mouth running just does not match the talent. Like, I almost want to say hats off because, like, your chirp game is strong, but you are so ass, dude. You are not good enough to talk the amount of shit that you talk, the annoying gnat-like presence, the buzzing around the ear and the chirp, 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 chirp. Like, you're a goof. You're a goof, like a yuck, to everyone around you. I don't know how the fuck it's going over there in Charlotte. I can't imagine that they love you over there. Maybe they do. Charlotte's a fucking enigma of a locker room chemistry situation. I have no idea how they figure any of that out. But turns out the Dallas Mavericks did not enjoy having Luka in the locker room. Mike Gorman says that the Celtics didn't like having him in the locker room. I know that a lot of the Celtics players say that Grant's a friend and everything like that. And maybe that's what it is. He's a good buddy. He's fun to laugh at. He's fun to laugh with. But as a teammate, that shit's annoying. If I'm on the Celtics or I'm on the Mavericks, or I'd never find myself on the Hornets. I'd retire if I got traded or signed by the Hornets. but if I'm on the Mavericks or the Celtics and I got Grant, I'm gonna make both chirp Jimmy Butler, chirp Luka Doncic, act like you're as good as Tatum, Williams. Grant fucking has been, never was Williams. You're too big for your britches, buddy. You just too, like, you, the confidence that oozes out of this fella with no reason makes no sense. And yet all he does is chirp, 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 chirp. Friend, foe, staff, everyone in between has to hear Grant be fucking annoying. And it's very clear that a lot of people got sick of it very fast. I don't think that Mike Gorman necessarily speaks for the Celtics players, but I also think there is a bit of truth in it, because why the fuck would he be saying it? Maybe Tatum and Grant still have that friendship, but maybe JB didn't like it. Maybe D. White didn't like it. Maybe, like, there's got to be some inkling of truth. Mike Gorman's just not going to go out of his way to be like, Grant Williams was fucking annoying and nobody liked him. And come on, we see it. We have seen it. He thinks that he's good. And then he plays like a bench starter, a rotation piece. He thinks that he is good and then dribbles into double coverage and turns the ball over in the corner of the 3-point line, right over there in the elbow, and blows a game against Miami in the playoffs. I'm gonna make both, and then misses both free throws to blow a lead against Cleveland. Chirps Luka Doncic and gets his ass beat in the practice gym. Like, shut up. Stop fucking running your mouth, Grant. The The shtick is over. We're all aware of your game. We've seen you ball. So the amount of shit talk that you're pumping out just does not make sense. It doesn't. And it's this weird era, I want to say, of ego versus talent, where the ego is super inflated. And then you look at the talent and you're like, buddy, like, let's be real. Let's be honest. I don't know. I thought that was funny. Shout out Mike Gorman for keeping it real. I don't care if it's a little bit of a fabrication or a little bit of a hyperbole. We've heard stories come out of the Celtics locker room, come out of the Mavericks locker room, come out of commentators, come out of analysts, come out of Shaqt and a Fool. Grant, keep it a buck. Be real with yourself. Zip the lips until the game starts speaking for itself. That's all we're really asking for. Zip the fucking lip. But with that being said, I bashed on a former Celtic, so let's roll into Celtics coverage. Marty Sweeps is back. Broom, broom, get the broom out. I told you last week we're going to sweep this week. And yeah, I'm a homer. I'm a fucking big old cheese ball and rooting for the Celtics. Yeah. But we beat Portland 121-99. We beat the Jazz 123-107. And we beat the Suns 127-112. Pumped the brakes on all of them. A 3-0 week. Always something beautiful. Always something fun to watch. And statement games. I mean, the game against the Suns was beautiful. I, at the beginning of the year, thought the Suns and their big three were going to be something to be afraid of. And they're not. I know they've only played like 20 games together as a big three, but they're all offense and no defense. So as long as you can score, as long as you can hit threes, which God damn, we went off against the Suns with the three ball. I think we were shooting at like a 52% clip. And hit 25-ish of 50, like ridiculous numbers. With all that being said, the win. The Celtics are sitting at a 52-14 record. They are the only team in the NBA to clinch the playoffs already. They did that on March 14th, literally a whole month before the regular season ends. The Celtics have clinched their playoff spot, literally meaning that we could lose every game from here on out and we're still in the goddamn playoffs. Now, do I want that? No. But it's kind of funny to think of it that way. We could literally, you know, roll out a starting lineup of Peyton Pritchard, Sam Hauser, Jaden Springer, Tillman, and Nemi. No, well, Nemi's hurt. I don't know. And Cornette. And win or lose, indifferent, we're still going to the playoffs if we run that for the rest of the year. We won't do that because Joe Mazzulla loves to flex on these little fools. Shout out Joe. Like, 2 years into the NBA and two crazy winning seasons. And people want to talk about, oh, it's roster, oh, it's this, oh, it's that. No, like, yes, we have a great team. Yes, we have a super team, blah, 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 blah. But the management, the lineups, the rotations, everything that Joe's done this year, the injury management that he's, you know, put everyone on, really, what is it? Monitoring Al, monitoring KP, making sure that if they get hurt or banged up, that he's giving either one of them time off or both of them time off. Like KP has been hurt, quote unquote, for the past week. Could he have played? Probably. But Joe's like, look at where we are. Look at where we are in the standings. Like, let's not rush this. Let's be smart. That's a crazy concept. But so many teams rush guys back from injuries, or the players themselves rush themselves back from injuries, and it's dumb. Give them the time they need. Let's heal up. Let's keep rolling. KP should be back today as you're listening, Sunday, March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the day in which the Celtics are basically guaranteed to win. They tap into that Celtic pride. It always threw me for a loop that the word Celtics does not exist in this world, except for in the NBA, because everywhere else it is pronounced Celtic. I learned that at like 10 when my Irish uncle was like, what the hell is a Celtic? And I was like, a basketball team. But that was a lot of fun. That was funny. But since I mentioned the game on the 17th, we are playing the Wizards away in Washington, D.C. I think it's almost illegal that the Celtics are not playing at home on St. Patrick's Day, but whatever. We're the only team with a leprechaun as our goddamn logo. We should be playing at home on the 17th of March, but whatever. We're going to kick the piss out of the Wizards. They are ass. They are bad. They are shit. They are trash. Moving on. The next game, the Pistons. All right, so I fucking damn it. The Pistons are ass, and everyone already knows that. But the last time I saw the Pistons play was against the Celtics, and they competed. And like I always say, every team treats the Celtics like it's a goddamn Super Bowl, like it's a goddamn fucking World Series, like it's the finals, like it's the heavyweight title fucking round. Whatever analogy you need for sports, that's how they treat it. I like the booty butt cheeks ass shit Pistons played us like a playoff competitor. So I think, wow. All right. So probably this is who the Pistons are. They play hard every fucking game and, you know, they just miss it or they're just nearly there. And like when you look at the scores, a lot of those games seem to be like that. And then, you know, you go on a betting show and, you know, say, hey, I have faith that they can cover the spread. It's only 8.5. They just can't lose by 9. And at halftime, they're only losing by 2. And you're like, holy shit, they're going to do it. Good job, guys. And then you watch a half of basketball. I am never, unless they're playing the Celtics, watching the Pistons play basketball ever fucking again. Like I don't know what the fuck I just watched. Because I was watching every single possession by the Pistons go down to 3 seconds left on the shot clock. I'm watching them throw Hail Mary, like flippant, not aimed passes all over the court. No rebounds. Every 3-point open opportunity hit front rim or the backboard or was a fucking air ball or a brick. There's no dribble presence. Like it was the worst NBA basketball that I have ever seen in my adult life. And I mean that wholeheartedly. I watched a half of basketball going, what the fuck is this? And the Pistons got the ball and I'm like, hey, you just need to bring it within 8. And they somehow, some way found a new way to disgust me on every possession. It was abysmal. I understand how the Pistons record is so fucking bad because that looked like a team that had no heart, that gave no fucks, that didn't want to be there. They were within 2. You were 2 points away from being tied to the Miami Heat, who are a playoff team. That should get you juiced up, fired up, ready to fucking go through a wall in the second half. And instead, they folded like fucking origami. It was pathetic. Cade Cunningham looked like shit. Jaden Ivey, oh, he rolled his ankle or he hurt his foot. Looked like shit. Jalen Duren looked like shit. Isaiah Stewart, buns. Like, the only person who was doing anything was like Fontecchio, and that was because he was hitting corner fucking threes because he was sat there for fucking 10 seconds and no one decided to cover him because the Pistons and they all suck. With that being said, the Celtics play the Pistons on March the 18th. If we don't beat the fucking pulp out of this team, if we don't make them want to forfeit at halftime as the number one seed, as the team who's sitting 9.5 games ahead of second place in the Eastern Conference, this is one of those games, and I'm so sick of the Celtics doing this, where we just play down to our competition. No, we need to beat the brakes off these motherfuckers. We need to show that the Miami Heat shit-pumping them for a half, if the Miami Heat can do it, we can fucking do it. Easily. I want to beat them into a pulp. I want to win by fucking 50. Yes, I'm chalking this up as a W. Yes, I think that's easy. I'm not asking for the win. I'm asking for an ass whooping because I was disrespected. I will never get that 30, 40, 50 an hour, however fucking long. It felt like years. I will never get that time back in my life where I watched the Pistons play the worst NBA basketball for a whole half of my entire life. I have watched child CYO, AAU, high school basketball games that looked better than that. Abysmal. Disrespectful to the sport is how I'll label it. And then you get Monty Williams talking for what, 15 fucking minutes about what they needed to do better? Everything, dude. You should have came out there, said, we fucking suck, and then left the stage because there was nothing to talk about. You needed to work on ball security. You needed to work on fucking shooting. You needed to work on fucking vision. You needed to work on defense. I'll give a little credit. The defense was fine. You held the Heat to 105, 106, 108, whatever the fuck it was in the end. Okay, defense was okay. Every fucking offensive possession was piss poor. Relegate them. Send them to the G League. Give me G League Ignite or the Metropolitans or give me fucking anyone else in this NBA because the Pistons don't deserve a spot. And that's how I feel right now. I know I've been at bat. I've gone to bat to protect them. This shit was embarrassing as an NBA fan, as a basketball fan. On the 20th of March, the Celtics will play the Bucks at home. This will be a good matchup. Dame and Giannis have been kind of clicking as of late. They're back up to the second spot in the East, which is still like 9.5 games behind us. So take it or leave it. I think, you know, this is one of those battle games. I said it before when we played Cleveland, when we played the Nuggets, when we play a team that's further down on the list. You know, there's certain teams that, you know, play us well every fucking time, and we're going to need to bring our A game. I do think we can beat the Bucks. We've done it before. I would love to do it, but I do think this is going to be one of the tougher ones in the slate that I'm going through. I do say we get a W, mostly because it is at home. but, you know, one of those ones that could easily flip the other way. One of the ones where I could be wrong with my prediction. And yes, am I picking a whole bunch of fucking W's in this slate? Yes. Why am I doing that? Because we have 52 wins and no one else is even close to that. So, also, I have the mic and I can say how many wins and losses the Celtics are going to get. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Whatever. Good. On the 22nd of March, we play the Pistons again. Again, shit pump them. Bury them. Murder them. We're in Detroit. I don't know. Get some fucking end of the bench guys to start another Malice in the Palace. I don't care. Fucking disrespect them in their home because the Pistons are shit and shouldn't be playing NBA basketball right now. They should just fold. So again, on the 18th and on the 22nd, the Celtics are going to be looking like a military unit and murdering. That is what I want. That is what I'm predicting. That is what I need. I don't. Yes, wins are almost inherently written into those 2 days. I don't want the W. I mean, yes, I want the W, but I need 20 plus, 30 plus, 40 plus, 50. Murder them, bury them, make them realize that they are not on the same planet, let alone playing field, as us. Talent-wise, skill-wise, basketball IQ-wise, you are the number one seed in the goddamn NBA. And after watching the Pistons shit all over the league, basically by playing the worst basketball, again, I have ever seen in a fucking half of NBA basketball, as the Celtics, as the first place team in the league, you need to show your respect for the game, for the logo, for the whole association, and pummel the Pistons twice in 1 week. Once at the Garden and once in Detroit. Beat the ever-loving piss out of them. Easy. Easy. It should be fucking easy. March the 23rd, the Celtics play against the Bulls in Chicago. Bulls are a play-in team. They're rocking it down near the 10-ish spot, maybe the 9-ish spot. I mean, good for them for competing and somehow still having maybe a playoff spot with how many injuries and how many season-ending injuries they've had this year. We're better than play-in teams. It's a W. Again, like this whole like stand Wizards, Pistons, Bulls, Hawks, all should be walk away W's, handedly W's. With that being said, the Hawks playing them in Atlanta on March the 28th. Shit pump them. Shit pump every bad team from here on out until the playoffs. Like make it a statement run. Beat the brakes off of everybody, especially the fucking Pistons, if I haven't made that fucking clear. And then the last game before we are back to, gracing you in front of the mic, giving you another recording, producing another podcast. March the 30th, we play the Pelicans away in Nollins. Homer is actually going to say that this is a loss. After going on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on top of the 3 that we already have, so a 9-game win streak, I do think that the Celtics will get a little tired, a little fatigued, and catch an L to the Pelicans. Do I want that? No. But also, it is very clear that every once in a while, a loss is good for this team. We got embarrassed by blowing a 20-point lead to the Cavs. We got embarrassed by losing to Joker. Now we're on a win streak. Now we're beating the fuck out of teams. Now we're making statements. So let's continue this run. We'll beat the Wizards. We'll beat the Pistons. We'll have a good game against the Bucks and beat them. We'll beat the Pistons. We'll beat the Bulls. We'll beat the Hawks. We'll take a little... keep it close. Make it a good game. Don't embarrass yourselves. But a loss to the Pelicans is not the end of the world. We only need to get to the playoffs. And guess what? We already fucking clinched. I just think that right now we struggle against Western teams. And I don't know if Joe has necessarily figured it out yet. And Joe Mazzulla has proven that when we lose a game, we've only lost one or two games in a row. I don't think we've had more than that. I don't think we've ever had a 3-game losing streak or 3-game slide in this season. But he always takes those losses, those you know, little clips, and turns them into lessons for this team, turns them into development, turns them into fixing shit and getting better. And we are... net rating 1, offense 1, defense 2nd. Like, we are cooking. And is there a lot of tweaking left? No. But let's get the tweaking done before we get to the playoffs. Let's make the final adjustments. Let's get everything squared away, everything figured out. And we're ready. We're golden. We're good to roll. We are Celtic cruising or Celtic cruising, however you want to fucking say it. I said Celtic because this is dropping on St. Patty's Day. Hey, top of the morning to you. but we're sitting pretty. We are the Celtics. We are number one. We are parked at first place in the Eastern Conference. I'll just do a quick rundown of the standings, East and West, and then we will wrap. Oh, no. I got a little final note, but standings. So as I said, Celtics, beast. Beast of the East, Celtic cruising, 52-14, standing solo dolo with a large gap looking down at everyone else in the East. The Bucks at 2 are 9.5 games behind, Cavs at 3, 10 games behind, Knicks 4th, 13 games behind, Orlando, shout out Orlando, 13.5 games behind at 5. Indy is 6 at 15.5 behind first place. 7 is the Heat, as well as 8 is the 76ers, both 16 games behind first place. the play-in teams, 9 is the Bulls at 20.5 games behind. 10 is the Hawks at 23 games behind. And 11, I know it's not necessarily a play-in spot, but I'm putting it there because they're only 26 games behind. They're 3 games behind the Hawks. There's a chance. So you're saying there's a chance that the Nets maybe take either the Bulls or the Hawks spot in the play-in. Who knows? But it's really just a battle between 2 through 11 at this point. One is locked up. I don't see anyone going on a 9-10 game winning streak while we go on a 9-10 game losing streak. It's just not going to happen. As for the West, a lot closer, a lot tighter of a race. You have the Nuggets at first, 47-20. Second place is OKC, only half a game behind. Third is the Wolves, 1.5 games behind. Fourth is the Clippers, 4.5 games behind. Pelicans at 5 with 6.5 games behind first place. 6 and 7 are the Kings and Suns, both 8 games behind first. The Mavs are sitting at 8 with 9 games behind first place. And the play-in teams are the Lakers at 9, 11 games behind first place. The Warriors at 10, 12 games behind first place. And 2 possible play-in, spoilers, play-in, sneak-ins. The Rockets are 15.5 games behind first place. Only 3.5 games behind 10th. And the Jazz are 17.5 games behind first place at 12th in the West. 5.5 games behind position number 10. Do I think the Jazz are going to squeak in? No. Do I think the Rockets are going to squeak in? I don't think they should. I said it earlier. Alpen Şengün, whatever. Alpen is hurt. And you shouldn't force him to come back just so you can make the play-in to be dunked on by the Nuggets or OKC or the Wolves. Give it another year. No one expected the Rockets to be even half as decent as they are. Pack it in. We'll see you next year. But those are the standings as they are right now. It is clear as day that the Celtics are the best team in the NBA. But that's the regular season. We need more than that. We need to see playoff success. We need to see a conference final success. And we need to see Banner 18 go up in the fucking rafters. So we're sitting pretty. We're sitting cool. We're doing all right. I'm pretty done with the regular season, except for the next 2 games on March the 18th and March the 22nd, where we are going to annihilate the Pistons, beat the fucking brakes off the Pistons. You can't tell the Pistons are on my shit list. I reached out to Kellen. Shout out Kellen. They're in the doghouse. Put them in the doghouse. Lock them in there. Keep them in there forever. It was bad. I will end this episode with one final thing, the MVP ladder, a couple fun facts that are attached to it, and then we will be gone for a week. I will miss you all. I will miss this microphone. I will miss talking NBA, but I'm on a boat, motherfucker. Don't you ever forget. First cruise. It'll be interesting. I'm sure there will be content or pictures or audio or some shit. I'll put something out for y'all. Or keep y'all entertained, keep y'all, I won't let you forget me. Anyways, the MVP race, 1, obviously, Nikola Jokic, Joker, going for his 3rd MVP in 4 years. 2nd, SGA, as of 3/13, that is March the 13th, so about 3 days ago, he scored his 48th 30-plus point game, which makes him pass the franchise leader, Kevin Durant. So he is number 1 in Thunder history / Supersonics history of scoring 30-plus point games. Shout out SGA. Number 3 on the ladder is Giannis. Number 4 is Luka. Fun fact for Luka. He is the first player ever to have five straight. This was like as of last week. First player ever to have five straight triple doubles with 35 plus points, which is kind of nutty. Because most of the time when we see triple doubles, you have someone with like 15 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, like really just kind of like just hitting all those the necessary stats. Luka's been smashing it with 35 plus points while also getting his trip dubs. So shout out Luka. Rounding out the top five of the MVP ladder is Jason Tatum, number zero for the Celtics. I want to see him climb. I know that people knocked him down a peg because of the loss against the Cavs and the loss against the Nuggets, but like Tatum's fucking good, dog. Like, I know. Luka's been great. SGA's been great. Joker's been great. I don't fucking pay attention to Giannis because what the fuck ever. He's a running back / linebacker in the NBA. But I could see Tatum climbing. He's just got to, you know, use this next week where you have a whole bunch of shit-ass teams to go off. Make your MVP race. Use this. Use this moment, Tatum. And stun on these hoes. Rounding out the end of the ladder is Domantas Sabonis at six, Kawhi Leonard at seven, KD at eight, AD at nine. Shout out to Anthony Davis. I've always said a healthy Anthony Davis is nothing to fucking bat an eye at, nothing to ignore. He is the first player to ever record a 25 plus rebound, 5 plus assist, 5 plus steal game in the NBA. That's nuts. That is a stat sheet. That is some Wilt Chamberlain shit. So shout out AD for doing that. I don't know who he played against or when he did that, but banana lands. Number 10, ending the ladder, Devin Booker. They play offense. Like, the fact that KD and Devin Booker are on the MVP ladder is a joke and a disrespect to... Oh, Jesus, sorry. A disrespect to the MVP race itself. Those guys just score buckets. They don't do anything else. They don't play defense, as we've seen when they played the Celtics twice. KD had 45 points in the first game against the Celtics, and guess what? We still won by 10. That's sad. But I digress. That is the MVP ladder. Those are the standings. That is your Celtics news, NBA news, injury updates. That is fucking everything. Again, you'll be without us for a week. CCC will be taking the next week off. We love you. As always, I am Marty the Meat Man. We are Cross Court Coverage. The Celtics are 52-14, the only team in the NBA to clinch the playoffs on March 14th, 2024, the year of our Lord. There is no other team who has clinched yet. There is no other team who's going to clinch until a week from now. We're rolling. We're Celtic cruising. And as always, forever and always, it is Go Celtics. Or go fuck yourself. Peace!